Accession number 12552, real one.
Mr. Gibbings, real one. Whereabouts were you born, please?
In Exeter.
And that was in 1920, I think.
That's right, yes.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, he was an ex-policeman.
And did you go to school in Exeter?
Yes.
How old were you when you left?
15 and a half.
Did you get a job?
Yes, an apprenticeship.
Doing what?
Domestic engineering.
What were you doing when war broke out?
I was gun fitting with Messrs. Cogdell and Harrison.
Gun fitting?
Yes, sporting guns.
Was that a firm in Exeter?
Gartney Kings were the original firm I was with as the heating, but I left them and. There was a call in 1938 on an emergency, a national emergency. Anyhow, I was with this Cogdell and Harrison's. That's a London firm. It was stripping guns and blowing up the parts and general lining for people who bought them. It was more or less a trainee, but then this call came out for a national emergency. I wanted to see the world, and so I enlisted.
Where did you go to enlist?
Portsmouth.
Why did you go to Portsmouth to enlist?
Well, the Ordnance Corps, I wanted to join as a fitter, and the Ordnance Corps depot was at Hilsey. So I was recruited at the Higher Barracks in Exeter, and then transported to Hilsey to take a trade test.
This was in 38?
This is in 1938, yeah.
At the time of the Munich crisis?
Yes, that's right, yeah. Oh, there was a big scare on it at that time. It was a little bit subversive, I suppose, but anyway, having passed the trade test, I enlisted then, did some military training. And I think it was after 10 weeks we were posted to Palestine, the whole issue.
How did you feel about that?
Quite happy. It was what I wanted, to see the world. But don't forget that the troubles in Palestine were so little published that it wasn't well known, not really. You've got little excerpts in the papers about it. Palestine, but very little otherwise. So we didn't know really until we landed that there was a lot of trouble there.
Was that in 1938 when you got there?
That's right, yeah. I think it was the end of September.
You were telling me that when you went there you were in favour of the Jews, were you?
We had lectures about the troubles on the boat. But even then we didn't appreciate it. What was entailed, but it seemed that the Arabs were attacking the Jews and the British Army was there as a buffer, being mandated territory. But, we got there. We landed in Haifa, went to Sarafan, there we've had our first shots fired at us.
How did that happen?
Well, that was Arabs at night, just firing into the camp. But I don't recall any damage being done. Anyway, then I was posted to the Royal Scots at Tulkarm.
When you first went to Palestine, which unit were you in?
I was with the Ordnance Corps.
What was the name of the unit?
Oh, there was no... It was a corps... and they supplied the various infantry regiments and tank regiments, they come to that, with the fitters, men to repair their mechanical transport.
So you were sent to the Royal Scots?
That's right. I joined the Royal Scots.
Which unit was that? Which battalion?
1st Battalion. The Royal Regiment.
The Royal Scots or the Queen's?
No, the Royal Scots.
Whereabouts were they?
They were at Tokaran.
And what kind of vehicles were you working on?
Wheeled vehicles, in general. That's the 15 underweight trucks, well, they called them 15 underweight, and the 30 underweight six-wheelers. And we had one carrier there, one of the old-type Bren carriers. That's the track vehicle, of course. But we were living under canvas.
How did you like that battalion?
I got on very well with the Royal Scots. Very well indeed. They were very rough. The food was basic. Bit of a shock really to the system, but bear in mind that in the previous 9 months they'd suffered quite a few casualties. Like there's a list of them in the thistle there. I put, this is leading up to the time I joined them. I never got the one. Anyhow, come 20. We had some. There was a Corporal Busby. He was sent out to Bir Ol Ghazem, I believe that it was called. He got himself in a bit of bother and he sent out there to keep him quiet. And he was, this is later on, he was selected for the advance party for the battalion to come home, which is early January. And he got, him and three others were blown off in the truck coming back. Curious round over it. He got banished to the hills for something because he stepped out of line and then he lost his leg over it, you know. In fact, I've got photos of the truck I recovered. This was part of our job, recovering vehicles, or seeing, repairing vehicles on the way surrounding the villages and that, you know.
Who was it who blew him up?
The Arabs. Oh, there was a terrific crater. The truck, in this instance, was left with just the body and two bits of chassis out of it. Now, the engine was, now then, I think the engine was 42 paces. Nipper, sinner. Was 42 paces from the actual scene of the blow-up.
And you went to recover it?
Yes, and we recovered it. I say I've got photos here of it somewhere.
What was the morale like amongst the Royal Scots, having taken those casualties?
The morale was excellent, tremendous, but it was a little bit angry with it, because they were supposed to be a peacekeeping service, and they were taking all the blows.
What did you feel about the Arabs yourself?
I got on pretty well with the Arabs. I wasn't allowed out to test the truck without... Well, officially, we had a machine gun section, that was the old Vickers machine gun section in the truck in the front, the truck I was testing, and a rifle section behind. But we couldn't adhere to it, you just couldn't keep up with it. The manpower wasn't there. But I never had any, they used to fire at us at night. There used to be one Friday night, every Friday night, this chap used to come up with an elephant gun. And those bullets, they used to... There was one... The camp was Kaduri School. It was an agricultural college for the Arabs. And it had an irrigation tank, which the unit used as a swimming pool, but otherwise it was all tented accommodation. And those bullets, they used to... You could hear them splatter against the walls. And it was a thunderous gun. In fact, you could see them because there was a valley in between the Kadiri school and the huts or the houses, which were flat roofed, and you could see these men in the moonlight. That was the rain. But they didn't do any damage that way.
They didn't hit anybody?
No, no. It was... We used to call them Saturday Night Territorials.
Were any of the Arabs captured by the Royal Scots?
Oh, yes, yes. There was... on the road to Nablus was a prison. Well, they called it... They termed it the cage. And there was quite a few Arabs in there which had been... Not captured isn't the word.
Interned?
Yeah, interned, more or less, you know. By the Royal Scots. There were quite a lot of prisoners in there who were convicted. But there was this run from Tulkarm to Nablus every evening, which was taken mainly by volunteers. And being young and foolish, we used to volunteer, the ordnance chaps.
Volunteer for what?
This run, and I can't place the name of it now, there's a special name for it. But there was one special place, they called it Windy Corner. And that's where we always got trouble. And you had to keep your head low there.
A place of ambush.
Yeah. This road to Nablus was in a valley. There is a story later on with the Queen, and I was test the Queen's later on. But I don't know. The Royal Scots, they took quite a lot. But to me, they were good. I believe there's one Englishman in there who didn't fit in too well, but I was attached. I was a separate entity. There was one other fitter with the battalion, but he'd been with the battalion all the time. He went out with the battalion, a fellow called McNabb. I think he was a Scotsman, I think of it. So he'd gone on well with him. Oh, this Corporal Busby, he used to drive us up the wall. He was the battalion pipe player. And our workshops was just a galvanised tin shed, you know. And he was the battalion storeman as well. And his stores was opposite us, matter of what, 8 yards. And he was up and down playing these bagpipes, you know. But he could play them too, he was very good. It's a marvellous thing to hear bagpipes when they're played, especially a lone piper. It really churns one, you know. It's like hearing the last post at night, you know, in the day. Only it's got a little bit more in it, the bagpipes.
Did you stay fit in Palestine?
I was... When I enlisted, I had been doing boxing training for, 3 years? But I decided to join the army, and so I got washed out. Well, I was 12 stone 8 then, and I was as fit as a fiddle. Football was what I used to love football. But on the 24th of December, I was admitted to the Eifer Hospital with typhoid on the 24th of December.
38.
Yeah. What had happened is the Arabs brought the pylons down, all the lights went out when we were having supper. And I asked the dining hall attendant for some jam. He brought this jam over and I ate it in the dark. And apparently it was full of ants, little red ants. So I landed up in Haifa Hospital and lost my stomach lining. And anyhow, in the meantime, I'm thinking back to... D.A.G. There was news that some so-called bandits were in the village, and the raw Scots, we went out during the dark hours and surrounded this village, and there was quite a lot of trouble. I don't know if I should say this actually, between the raw Scots and between a couple of the raw Scots and the women. There was quite a lot of fuss, and I remember the battalion being lined up for identity parade. It wasn't very nice, that. I think I got photos of that parade too. See, as
were, were two of them punished, you mean, for interfering?
No, they couldn't be identified. I think it was something to do with looting or something of that nature. That was the thing that the Arabs treasured most was their sewing machines. So consequently, that's the thing that got damaged, if anything got damaged. Because there was never any men in there except for one or two old men time the battalion got there, because their system of signals through the hills was, as soon as the battalion got out the gates, the signals went round the various villages, you know. And of course, consequently, when the village was surrendered, there was no men in there. But they were fighting for the country, the Arabs. Although their system of land measurement was such that, providing, as I understand it, and anyhow, providing they tilled the land, it was theirs. But if they failed to till it, it went back to communal ownership.
But did you sympathise with the Arab cause?
I didn't sympathise either way. I thought it was a daft thing altogether. It was just people losing their lives. When really, to my way of thinking, as things were then, it should have been declared an open country with a combined government in Jerusalem.
How did you come to a transfer to the Queen's?
Well, when I'd recovered from this typhoid, which was 3 weeks, I think, I was on beef tea. And then because they were short of fitters, there was no convalescence, I went straight back to the Queen's at Tulk Arm. They'd taken over. The Royal Scots came home, went home, and the Queen's took over from them. That's the 2nd Battalion.
How did you like working for the Queen's?
Fine regiment. Good comrades. Tremendous regiment. Different approach.
In what way?
They were more policemen.
More what?
They were more like policemen than soldiers. They were doing what is reckoned as a peacekeeping job. But there again, it was a fresh environment to them.
Did they take any casualties?
They had one or two, but I don't think they lost any men killed through Arab intervention. We lost some men through accidents. There was one chap, he drove a water car, a fella called Elsie. He's buried at Ramley, I think. He was driving a half-hill water cart one day. And he turned it over, and he jumped for it, and he got pinioned under the tank, and of course he was crushed to death. a platoon of men came along, or the Queen's came along, and lifted this thing off him, but by that time it was too late. Incidentally, coming back, talking about the Arabs' doings, I was on my way to Nablus in a single truck one day. There's just myself and the driver. This is when I was with the Queens, that's right. Now, about 3 miles, Tolcom's had of Nablus, there was a group of Arabs, and they were looking at a little child on the line in each side of the road. There was a sand trench, and this little child was lying there. He was about 4 years old, I suppose. And he'd been kicked by a scorpion, and he was turning blue. So I stopped. Now, this is, we had a rifle and 50 rounds, I suppose, which of course you, and I said to one of the Arabs, because by this time he could speak a little bit of Arabic, they'll hop in and we'll go up to Nablus and get a doctor. When we did that, and there was no harm came to me at all. They accepted it, and away we went. The doctor went down in his own vehicle. What happened to the kiddie, I don't know. But I had some Jewish friends as well.
How did you make those?
We had a Jewish fitter with us. He was a chap from Vienna. When Hitler moved in on him, he ran a motorcycle business in Vienna. And when Hitler moved in, they decided to get to Palestine. He lived in Haifa, him and his family. In fact, his family called on me while I was in the hospital. Eli Ben Mosh, he was his name. And he was the caricature of... When you see a picture of Punch, that was him. And he was a lovely chap. He really was. A little fellow, about 5'3" or 5'4". And we had... when a convoy went out to surround the village, or on some excursion or other, you always had what they call a minesweeper in the head, which is always a Jewish driver. And it was always a long-nosed vehicle. So if there was any mines, he would hit the mines. They were well paid for this job. And I got to know one or two of these people in that way. Being a fitter, they came and talk about vehicles and this and that. And then I went to, when I came out of hospital, I went to, and stayed with Eli for a night. And they were fine, you know. It's just the creeds that are it.
Where did he live?
He lived in Haifa.
Did you go to Jerusalem?
Can I take yes, we were stationed in Jerusalem for 6 months, in my fact.
Say what you want, yes.
Well, let me follow this through, otherwise I shall lose the thread. I then left Stockholm and went to Nablus, in the fort at Nablus. I come in. That was Christmas 39. And of course I played football for the battalion and the company, B Company as well. And we had an unfortunate accident there, or accident, it was purposely done, at Christmas Eve. One of our goalkeeper got shot when he was killed.
By an arrow?
No, by an Englishman. He got 2 years for it.
It was a quarrel between the soldiers.
There's no quarrel. No quarrel. Look, apparently they were invited up to the Palestine police, and this chap said he'd taken another chap's gun out of the armory, and, he was the storeman, that's right.
He was the what?
He was the storeman. Took another rifle out, and he said, I'm going to shoot the next man that comes through there. This is as we understood it. And he shot this bloke through the head. Fellow called Hughes. Nice little chap, too. Well, there you are, that's how it is. But then we had to carry a rifle and 50 rounds everywhere we went. If you didn't carry a rifle and 50 rounds as a private or you were in trouble.
Did you feel yourself to be in danger in Palestine?
Oh, yeah. Yes, you was always in danger. Yeah. You had your eyes... We had one chap came out. He was a reinforcement. He was a good corporal. And by this time, we had two huts for the MT section, and we were in the lower part, down by the irrigation tank. And this chap, he had a younger brother in the battalion, but this chap came out, and he was absolutely scared. Absolutely scared. We got shut up one night, because we used to get it maybe 3-4 times a week. The Arabs around, and the camp is all barbed wire, etc. around it. And we just used to duck our nuts, you know, get your rifle out and the rest of it. Anyway, this was about 2 o'clock in one morning, and they started letting rip at us. And of course, when you went to bed, you had a mosquito net, and it was all tucked in, you know. And of course, he tried to get out too quick and got tangled up in the monkey's mosquito net. He was fighting his mosquito net on the floor. And he said afterwards that he felt he was in an iron cage. He just couldn't get out of that mosquito net because they're tremendously strong. But this chap afterwards, we went out and surrounded the village, and I think he was the one chap who got shot. He got shot through the knee, and he was only with the battalion about 2 months, and he came home. And he was dead scared of getting shot, this chap. And he said to him, like, you know, I forget his name. But
I think you said that you went to Jerusalem?
Yeah, well, after we went to Nablus, and there it was the same thing. Now, the Arabs, the fort, that lies against a big hill. Now, the Arabs used to build sangars on the top of the hill, and that's where they used to be. They could fire down in the fort. And the queens would go up and destroy them, and of course they'd rebuild again. It was a sort of I don't know, it wasn't a game, but, you know, it was a so-so event. Anyway, from Nablus we went, to Jerusalem. The Black Watch had to go to Beersheba for training, and the Queens took over in Jerusalem, and it was a nice stay. We had no trouble. You had to watch what you were doing. But we were there 6 months. I think it was about 6 months. A good football pitch. Palestine police had a good pitch. Well, the Palestine police HQ was back about 7 miles out of Jerusalem on the road to Tel Aviv. Now, I think I'm right in saying that the way they measured the roads there were from Jerusalem. Each road was counted from Jerusalem. Tel Aviv was so many. It wasn't the other way like we got here. Every road was different.
What did you think of the work of the Palestine police in Palestine?
Oh, yes, they did a good job. They were very steady in influence. Very steady. A little bit of a tenuous job, really, but they were very strict. But I mean, any Arabs we had working for us, because some did, were good workers. But I think it was mostly the Arab temperament was most shown up by